Amen. Some of you may know, some of you may not, that the word shalom in Hebrew is the word for peace. It's a common greeting around the world to greet people with peace. Even Christians might say, peace be with you, or the peace of Christ be with you. In many churches, there was the passing of the peace during the greeting time. In Hebrew, shalom is still a greeting of peace. In Islam, salam is the same as shalom. It's peace. It's a greeting of peace. It's interesting how, in so many different ways of living and religions, there is this idea that we're speaking peace, that the intention is to bring peace between people. But I think we need to understand what peace is a little bit first before we get into a discussion of the kind of peace that Jesus said, I came to bring you. So his sense of peace is definitely rooted in this idea of shalom. And if you look at shalom throughout the Bible and you look at what God's intention is for the world, you begin to see that it's not just an absence of conflict, which is what we think, but peace is something deeper. It's not just when we're not arguing anymore. If we never talk to each other again, that's not true peace. It's not just that all of the wars will cease, but there might still continue to be injustice in the countries that were once warring with one another. You see, the idea of shalom is that there is a wholeness, that there is that everything is working the way God intended it to. And so that includes not only for us internally, we're at peace with our mind, at peace with ourselves, at peace with our God, we're at peace with each other, but even the very creation of the world. For the idea of shalom in Hebrew is a flourishing. You know, the crops are growing. You know, there's enough food for everyone to eat. You know, everyone is included. You know, the families are strong. The community is strong. It's healthy and it's growing. That's the idea of this of shalom. I came across at the end of last year this Hindu peace prayer, which I thought was interesting. I haven't looked at a lot of Hindu prayers, but this one caught my eye because it's from the Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence. And part of it says this, O Lord, may there be peace in the celestial regions. May there be peace on earth. May the waters be appeasing. May the herbs be wholesome. And may trees and plants bring peace to all. May all beneficent beings bring peace to us. And may your wisdom spread peace throughout the world. And then I discovered the Hindu word for peace at the end is Shanti. So they pray Shanti, 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 peace. And I think that's interesting because it gets us to expand our idea that peace is a more all-encompassing concept of shalom. But I don't think it goes far enough. I think the idea of shalom is not just that we are in harmony with the world that God has created, but even the systems that we create are in harmony. So it means that everything is going well for us, between us, but also for everyone else. If you study the Old Testament at all and you understand what shalom truly means and the things that God wanted his people to do to bring shalom, you will see that there's an overwhelming amount of justice that is spoken about. Taking care of the poor, taking care of the widows, taking care of the orphans, realizing that the foreigners among you are vulnerable, making sure that they get taken care of as well, that it's this all-encompassing idea. And it's where I believe Jesus picks up on when he starts to talk about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven and what should there be. So whatever you know of peace, it's not wrong. Having peace between people is an absence of conflict, but that's just the first stepping stone to this broader concept of peace that Jesus wants to bring to us. So for the text this morning, I chose John chapter 14, verses 25 to 27. And so let's look at this together. Jesus, when speaking to his disciples, said, "All of this I have spoken while still with you." This was near the end of Jesus' life. John puts this in his gospel after the Last Supper. So this is between Thursday night and Friday morning as they are remembering everything that Jesus said to them. "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. For who do we find peace in? I find the concepts in that Hindu prayer of peace inspiring. But when they say, "Lord," who are they praying to? Which Lord have they picked? I am here to audaciously and boldly proclaim that true peace, true shalom, true well-being is only found in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I'm the one who brings you peace. And it's not the kind of peace that the world offers to you. And people will say, oh, wait a minute. How can you say that when in the name of Jesus Christ, so much violence and hatred and destruction and injustice can occur? And I want to be honest and say, yes, you are right. There is a lot of horrible things that have happened in the name of Jesus. But when that occurs, people are taking the name and they don't have the power in their presence of Jesus that is associated with that. For I want to propose what I believe, that where the true presence of Jesus dwells, there is true peace. But that doesn't mean that anybody can run around acting like they're Christians. Can I get an amen? Have we ever seen anybody running around and act like they're a Christian? And what they're doing seems to be the very opposite? Permit me a little parable, if you will, like I like to do. Imagine you see somebody that works for Starbucks, and they're wearing the green apron, right? And they have the little Starbucks thing. And they're running around your neighborhood, and they're trashing people's yards, and they're stealing little kids' toys, and they're graffitiing all over the place. Would you get mad at Starbucks? Would you say, that Starbucks company, look what they're doing. They're destroying the neighborhood. Or would you say, something's wrong with that person that's wearing the green apron? But how far we've fallen, my Christian sisters and brothers, that when people do horrible things in the name of Christ, people immediately say, ah, Jesus is no good. Your God is no good. Because how could a God like that do this? Instead of realizing that maybe the people who are wearing the Jesus aprons are not acting in the way that they should. I'll take it even a step further. Imagine that that Starbucks person is wearing the green apron, but they're in the Starbucks. They're working behind the counter. They're running the drive-through. And instead of coffee and frappuccinos and refreshers and chai lattes and matcha lattes that they're handing out, they're pouring poison into the cups and killing people as they drive through the drive-through. Then we have a more dangerous situation, don't we? But I think most of us have the intelligence to say that that's not Starbucks' intention. And if it is Starbucks' intention, then I think we would do everything we could to stop Starbucks. Friends, could it be that it's really Christ's intention for all of this hatred and violence and injustice to be perpetuated in his name? Or is it that we have people running around like lunatics, claiming that they're Christian when they really aren't? Today, I want to propose that where the true presence of Christ is, you might remember his name, one of his names, the Prince of Peace, then there is true peace. There is true shalom. There is true well-being for everyone. Jesus says, I bring you peace. My peace I leave you, I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Friends, right there, I can tell if someone is truly acting under the authority and name of Jesus Christ. Because if you're acting in the name of Jesus Christ, then what you say should bring peace. It should not trouble your hearts and make you afraid. And I am so tired of Christians in the media, whoever they may be, that when they speak, they trouble our hearts and they make us afraid. Because that's not the words of Christ. And what I discovered in looking at this is I'm like, okay, how does Jesus bring us his peace? You know, exactly how does Jesus bring us that peace, that shalom, that well-being that he's talking about? Well, in our passage, I like to go right to where we were. I like to not go too far if I don't have to. He says, the Holy Spirit will come and remind you of everything I said to you. So how do we get the peace of Jesus? I believe Jesus would say, if you want my peace, listen to my words. It's the words of Jesus that bring us peace. And that's where we can quickly see and understand the disconnect, amen? People say, oh, I'm a Christian, but their words don't match the words of Jesus. It's the words of Jesus that bring us peace. And Jesus said, listen, even when I'm not with you, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of everything that I've said. I want to invite you right now, even in this moment. This doesn't have to be just an information gathering time. I believe the Holy Spirit is with you right now. What has Jesus spoken to you? Think right now. What has Jesus said to you, honestly? Alyssa, what has Jesus said to you? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
That he's my courage when I worry in the dead of night.
Jesus says, Alyssa, I'm your courage when you worry in the dead of night. Right? Derek, what has Jesus said to you? What's the first thing or word that you remember Jesus said?
Peace.
Jesus said, he spoke peace. Man, I'm going to dig into more of that in a minute. Ruth, what is something you know Jesus has said to you? He loves you. Right? He loves you. John, what do you know Jesus has said? Yeah, be aware of others' needs, not just yourself. Everybody, take a phrase in your mind right now. Those words will bring you peace. When you remember and hear and think about the words of Jesus, those words themselves will bring you peace. Not only, you ready for a little bonus this morning? Not only from John 14 will the Holy Spirit remind us of everything Jesus said, but if you go ahead into John 16, verse 13, write it down, look it up. Jesus says, I have more to tell you that you're not ready for yet. And what does he say will happen? How will Jesus tell us things that he did not say in the Gospels? He doesn't say, well, then I'm going to give you a Bible so you can read it. No. He doesn't say, well, then I'm going to give you pastors and leaders who will tell you what I say. No. And then I'm going to give you a vision where it's written in the sky what I'm going to say. No. He says, I have more to tell you. I'm not going to tell you yet, but I will send the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, to tell you things that I have not yet said. Oh, friends, it's scary but exciting at the same time. Not only do the words of Jesus written in the Scriptures come to us with the power to bring us peace and the Holy Spirit reminds us, but also the Holy Spirit right now will speak the words of Jesus to us that have not yet been spoken. Amen to that. Jesus is still speaking, reminding, reinforcing, but also revealing new things to us by the Holy Spirit. And it's the words of Jesus that brings peace. I think Jesus' first thing that he wants to say to us this morning is peace, as Derek said, my partner in the back. And in order to receive my peace, listen to my words. Listen to my words. The second thing, from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, here we go, which transcends all understanding, amen, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I think the second thing Jesus says is talk to me about your problems. Talk to me. Tell me. What does it say? To not let your hearts be troubled, to untrouble your heart means to pour out your heart to God. Tell him what's going on in everything. It doesn't matter how little. It doesn't matter how seemingly insignificant. Well, God doesn't have the time for this. Well, yes, he does, because he's infinite. So there's never a limit. Can you imagine? Oh, God, save us from being infinite like you. I can imagine if my calendar, if my appointment book was infinite. It would constantly be filled up. And sometimes we treat God as us and say, well, God's so busy. God's, I don't know. Or we say, I'm too busy. And we don't allow the infinite God to come in and break into our finite patterns of life and say, you've got time to spend with me. And you can tell me everything. And you can tell me anything. And sometimes we just need to pour out our hearts to God in every situation. If you don't want to be anxious, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Present your request to God. Tell God about it. Jesus is saying, listen to my words. And he's also saying, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Friends, just to be real with you for a moment, I had a situation not too long ago where I had to go and attend an event. And there was going to be two people at that event that I had a lot of resentment towards, that I felt like had not treated me fairly or well in the past. And I wanted to go, I wanted to be the man of peace. I wanted to go in and not let it bother me, right? I wanted to go in and just be like above it all. And some of you do that really well. And I admire you for being able to do that. But I was struggling. I was like, I wanted to find this center of peace where I truly, you know, because I'm that kind of person. I don't care what other people think. And then I hear what they think and I'm like, you know, I go back and forth all the time. And I had some great advice from my spiritual director. He said this, he said, why don't you journal and write down everything you feel before that event happens? Oh, I'm telling you, friends, it was beautiful. It was such a release to do that. I got out my journal, I sat down, I gave myself space in my schedule, and I wrote out every feeling I had without trying to edit or censor it, you know, knowing that you all will never read it, praise the Lord. And I just tried to pour out my heart to God and just say, this is everything that I feel. And you know what? I was not as anxious. I was not as afraid. I was not as nervous. I felt like my words were more words that God would want me to say when the opportunity came to speak. And some of it never happened. You know, it's funny how a lot of the things that we imagine never happen. A lot of the things we create in our head aren't necessarily what happens in reality. But friends, God gave me a beautiful experience of with everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Man, after I poured myself out, I said, God, these people I have resentment towards, thank you for what you taught me through them. Thank you for who I am today, because everything I go through makes me who I am, and I want to become more like you with everything. And then Jesus says, trust me. Remember that the peace of God is to guard our hearts. That means when we talk to Jesus, we entrust it to God. All right? I know most of you all be, yes, yes, Pastor, I do that. I'm worried, I'm anxious about this situation, but I'm trusting it to God. But then after you do that, how's the anxiety, how's the worry, how's the mental process? Do you really trust God? Do you really trust God? I think it's a challenge for us to really trust God, to really believe that God's going to take care of it, to really believe that God's going to bring about the best. Shalom is what's good for everybody, right? If I'm entrusting someone that I love and I feel like I'm carrying a burden for someone I love and I entrust them to God, I really believe that God is going to do the absolute best in their lives. I understand that they can refuse and they can go their own way, but I can't do anything about that. But I'm trusting that God will do everything possible, more than I can do, to help that person. If I entrust a situation to God, all right, then I'm trusting that God is going to take it. That peace of God transcends understanding. I may not even have all of the answers, amen. I may not even have all of the insights, amen. But I've entrusted my situation to God. But most of us grab it right back from Him the next morning. And we carry it ourselves. And we carry that burden. Jesus said, come to me. Let me carry your burden. We're like, yes, Jesus, I want that. And we come to church and we give Jesus our burden. And Monday morning, we make our spiritual Amazon order. I want this burden, I want this burden, I want this burden. And we carry that sack around with us through the rest of the week. Friends, again, today in this moment, why not start right now? And I won't ask you to share this out loud, don't worry. But right now, think of the situation that is causing you the most anxiety. Think of the relationship or the situation that you are most stressed out about, that you are most worried about. And right now, could you give that to God? I invite you right now, even. I'll wait a minute. Go ahead. Say a prayer. Say a prayer and say, Holy Spirit, this time, help me to really give it to you. Help me really to trust that you're going to take care of this. Amen. 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 And I said do it now because this is what we need to do in our lives. When you're at work, you may need to stop for a minute. You may need a minute. Amen. You may need a minute to talk to God. Give yourself a minute. You may be doing chores. You may be working on a project or whatever. You may need to stop for a minute. Amen. Just talk to God. Just give it to God. You know, whatever you're doing. You may be out exercising. You may be out enjoying, you know, a time with friends. Something comes to your mind that could cause anxiety or worry or burden or fear. Just take a minute. Take a minute. Excuse yourself. Go to the bathroom. Take a walk around the building. Take a moment. Talk to God. Trust God. So in order to receive the peace of Jesus, Jesus says, listen to my words. And then Jesus says to us, talk to me and trust me. Listen to me. Talk to me. Trust me. And then the final point I want to make this morning is Jesus says, my words have power. This verse from Colossians 3:15 has really grabbed a hold of my attention this morning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That was interesting to me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Even as members of one body, you were called to peace. That's giving Jesus' words authority in our lives. We have to give the words of Jesus authority in our lives. You see, it's a permission that we grant if we're going to let the peace of Christ, right? You follow what I'm saying this morning? The peace of Christ is the words that he has told us. And when we enter into a conversation with him, the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But we have to let it do so. So when Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, then we have to give those words authority in our lives. For if we hear the word and we talk to Jesus about it, but then we don't give his words authority, then it doesn't have that effect that it could have on our life. And I love how it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because we don't always have control or authority over our circumstances. We like to think we do, because we've been brought up on this idea of rugged individualism and good Americans. We like to think that we can control all of our circumstances, but even the most rugged cattle rancher or farmer would tell you there are so many things that I can't control. The temperature, the weather, the soil, the wild animals, all of the other factors in life that we are not able to control. Your stressful situation may be your job or where you work. You may not have control over every part of your situation. You may or may not have authority over certain things in your life, or you may. But what you do have authority over is your heart. You always have authority over your own heart. So when Jesus says, when Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, then Jesus is telling us, my words have power. Will you give them authority? Amen. My words have power, but will you give them authority? For when Jesus speaks, peace reigns. Amen. And it's the authority. So what example could I give? I can think of no example that pops into my mind greater than Jesus in the boat with the disciples during the storm. A passage that I find so wonderful. My favorite passages to preach on, because I keep finding layers. I keep finding layers of understanding and ways to use them. And today it came to me to this. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus was there. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. The disciples were acting as if he wasn't there. They were expecting him to do something else. We know all of the different ways that they were not connecting to the presence of Jesus in the boat. But the very fact that Jesus was there, all right, everybody hang on for a second. The very fact that he was there did not calm the storm and did not calm their fears. What was it that actually executed that peace is when Jesus stood up and spoke the words out loud. Friends, how many of us have Jesus in our hearts, but we have not let his spoken word take authority over our lives? It's not enough to have Jesus in your life if, for all intents and purposes, he's asleep in the back of your boat. But when he speaks, and you give him the authority to speak into your life. What happened? The wind and the waves grew still. The disciples realized that they were going to be all right. And they had a new appreciation for Jesus that they did not have before. Maybe it would be worth speaking the words of Jesus out loud. Maybe it would be worth in your life, because the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus is not physically, you know, waking up in the backseat of your car and speaking a word over your situation. But you could be driving to work or riding to work, and you could open your mouth and you could say, if God is for me, who can be against me? You could say, hey, why don't you focus on helping someone else today and not just your own needs? You could say, Jesus, I want to help somebody today. Jesus, I want you to guard my heart and my mind today. Jesus, what did he say in the boat? He said, peace, be still. Peace, be still. That reminds me of Psalm 46. Famous verse that many of us know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It reminds me of when Moses and the children of God were escaping the Egyptians, and they came to the Red Sea, and it was too big for them to cross. And the army was behind them, and the army, if it catches up to them, is going to destroy them. And they can't get across the sea, let alone they don't even know what's waiting on the other side. And you talk about being caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. They were stuck in the ultimate rock and hard place with extreme fear, extreme anxiety, no hope, no way out. And what does the Lord say in that moment? He says, all you need to do is be still, for I will fight for you. How many times is God waiting for us to be still, and speak the words of Jesus over our hearts and over our situation and allow the peace of God to reign, believing in the authority of the Prince of Peace to bring us peace, to guard our hearts and our minds, to bring us and everyone else into a place of flourishing and well-being. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.